Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Hi, and welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 135. Shannon Popkin joins our co-host, Lee Nienheist, in today's episode focused on the book they co-authored called Comparison Girl for Teens. And what a timely message for this generation. Our children, beginning at younger ages than ever before, are struggling with feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness, all of which can be connected to this comparison factor. Since everyone can use a reminder they aren't alone in the comparison struggle, please make sure to share this episode with a few friends once you've digested Lee and Shannon's wisdom. You'll also want to subscribe to this podcast if you have not already, and go ahead and rate and review so others can access our content more easily. Ready to hear how you can train your children to navigate comparison well? Jump over to Corey, Lee, and Shannon's conversation now.
Well, I am so excited to welcome not just one, but two good friends today, and that is Shannon and Lee are with me today. They co-wrote a book that, I mean, we all need, and that is Comparison Girl. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us. It's so great to be with you, Corey.
And Lee, you've been on here before, so you've done something cool, so we had to highlight this.
I mean, as a co-host, I feel like I should greet you to the You Can Tell the Children podcast. So good to see you.
Good to see you too. And Sheena, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, about, you have kids?
Yes. Yeah. My husband, Ken, and I have been married 27 years. We've got three young adult children. In fact, I just got a call before we got on that my oldest daughter just bought a house. So we're kind of in that phase of life. Our second born just accepted a job offer this week. So yeah, we're doing all the fun stuff now. If you are a mom of littles, believe me, you will get there.
It gets better. It gets better.
A long time coming. These kids, you would never dream that they could ever buy a house or take a job offer. But so we have three. Our oldest is 25. Our youngest is 20. We live in West Michigan. And I'm an author, a speaker, a podcaster. My podcast is Live Like It's True. And Corey, you're going to be a guest soon. We're excited about that.
Very excited.
So yeah. And love my friend Lee. We love working together.
Cool. And Lee, tell us a little, if somebody doesn't know you already, tell us a little bit about yourself as well. You have a brood of kids as well.
I do. I'm like one half step behind Shannon and you, Corey. I have four kids. Mike and I live in West Michigan at a Christian camp and conference center. So I live at summer camp. It's very fun. But we have four kids. Our oldest just got married and our youngest is 13. And then we have two teenage girls sandwiched in the middle. And you already know this. I side hustle as a cheerleading coach. So super fun stage of life to be in, but busy. I feel like I live in my minivan.
That's not a side hustle. That's a main job. So good for you. Good for you being involved in your kids' stuff. So very cool. So tell us about this. I'm excited about this topic because it is a very difficult topic for adults and for children and for teenagers. And you wrote a book called Comparison Girl for Adults, and it did very well. Is that right, Shannon?
I did write a book called Comparison Girl. Yeah. And, you know, just talking to women about this problem with comparison, with always glancing sideways, always measuring ourselves, always feeling desire to lift myself up and prove that I have more, that I am more, and feeling ashamed when I don't. So yeah, that's kind of where it started.
Right. And so what prompted to do Comparison Girl for Teens?
Yeah. Well, so everywhere I go, when I talk about this topic, people are like, I have a daughter or I have a granddaughter and she really needs to hear this message. And so right after it launched, really, I turned to Lee and said, hey, what would it look like if we joined forces? Because I don't I have, you know, I'm a little further removed from being a mom of teens, and I don't coach cheerleading. Lee just has all, you know, she's kind of cool. And so way cooler than me, but she, yeah, she just brought so much life to the topic for teens. She has all these quizzes that she wrote and made it really fun for us to engage a really serious though topic.
Wow. And Lee, why did you want to join your friend Shannon in this topic?
Well, actually, Shannon asked me to endorse the book, which is a process that all authors go through, is like seeking endorsements. And so I thought, yeah, sure. Anything Shannon does is going to have a lot of Bible in it, which is my heart. But I thought, actually, Corey, like, this is not a problem I struggle with. I am not a comparison girl. I feel pretty good about who God made me to be and my gifts and talents and the way he uses me in the world. Like, that's not a problem. And then I read the book and I was like, oh, no, I am a comparison girl, too. And the thing that really struck me, though, is that I know that comparison usually starts at some point when there's this like wake up call where you realize that the world is measuring and I'm not making the cut. And that usually happens in the middle school and high school years. And so I called Shannon and I was like, yes, no problem endorsing, great book. I'm a comparison girl, but this has to be written for teens. And she said, you want to do that with me? And I said, no, I don't want to do that.
It was her idea. So
it really was.
We had to have her included.
It was so obvious that this is a timely message for this generation too, that here we are.
Well, I have a confession to make myself, is that I have trouble even getting on social media because my mind just automatically goes there. It automatically is somehow wired to compare. And, you know, most girls want to be beautiful. You want to be that beautiful girl. You want to be told you're beautiful. Is that wrong? Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong to want to be beautiful. I mean, scripture is filled with comparison language. Actually, it talks about physical beauty and who was beautiful and who was not beautiful. And if God's talking about it, it's not wrong. It's attaching value statements to these things and deciding whether you're more or less because of them. So no, comparison is not wrong. Wanting to be beautiful is not wrong. It's just what we do next that's the problem.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, comparison actually does sneak up on you, though. I mean, you have to admit that. And there are some ways it shows up in the lives of teens. Tell us about that. How does it show up in the lives of teens? What do you see?
You know, I remember a time when my daughter was maybe 6 or 7, and she's looking out the window, and the neighbors were having a birthday party, and she wasn't invited. And so she is looking in on this birthday party, just big tears rolling down her cheeks. Mm-hmm. Now, it made sense to me because she was way younger than the girl that it was her party, and she didn't go to the same school. And so it made sense that she wasn't invited. It did not make sense to her. And so I just kept saying to her, honey, come away from the window. Come away. Like, you don't have to watch this party.
Awful. Yeah.
Just come away. And, you know, I think there are so many more windows open right now for teen girls. All the windows are open and they're looking in on the lives of, you know, not just the next door neighbor, but all the girls in their school and then people that they don't know and influencers and all of these different messages that are all coming in through these screens. So it is a hard day to grow up as a girl and to always be looking at images that are we know they're not real. Like we know there's a filter on those, but we're still drawn to beauty and we still have this longing in our hearts to be the one that everyone is admiring and everyone is, you know, noticing. Like that's in us. Right. But I think like Lee said earlier, it's what do we do after, or I would say too, what do we do before we go into that room, before we go into social media, like open our phone, like where is our heart set and how are we responding to these desires that are just so natural in our hearts? I think this is something that we can train our kids on. We can coach them with. And I think it's all bound up in what is actually true about you. What is actually true about these differences between you and other people? Because we can't tell any kid, any person of any age that they're exactly like everyone else because they're not. I mean, we see the differences. Apparently God loves variety because he put it in everything, you know, the birds, the flowers, the colors, everything has variety. And we do too. And that's on purpose.
Yeah. My daughter, Gabby, is adopted from Guatemala. So imagine all of us white folk and then our brown daughter. And she has a different identity. Like she relates to being Latina and wants to embrace that now at 18 years old. But when she was like maybe 7 years old, we live in West Michigan, which is a big Dutch culture. And if you grew up like me, you have no idea what that means. But in Michigan, they say, if you aren't Dutch, you aren't much, right? And so stereotypically blonde hair, blue eyes, very tall. And in my daughter Gabby's preschool class and up until second grade, when we had this moment, she was the one that looked different. Now, her friends loved her, accepted her. She went to all the birthday parties, all these things. But she came home one day and she's like, Mom, I just wish I had blonde hair and blue eyes. And it was just like in that moment that I started recognizing that if she had blonde hair and blue eyes, she'd want to be different than that as well. You know, and she'd want to stand out. But in general, it's in kids to want to fit in. Yeah. And it doesn't really matter their age. We don't grow up out of that.
Mm-hmm. No, you want to belong. Absolutely. And a lot of not belonging and, you know, comparing yourself to other people. And I love what you said in the book about, you know, not measuring up to the measure up world, the way you call it, that's what it is. It's a measure up world. And that's where that anxiety and depression and, you know, we're seeing that skyrocket with teens. I did a couple different articles recently for the Washington Times on how that is skyrocketing because of those screens, like you said, Shannon. So tell me about how this anxiety, depression, comparison, how they're related. Like, does the book help that? Like, how can we get kids away from thinking that way, going down into those things?
Well, the anxiety and depression epidemic that we're in is real. Mm-hmm. I see that across my cheerleading squad. I see that down the hallways of our schools right now, that we are in the greatest mental health crisis the world has ever known. And so that's post-COVID, where that really skyrocketed. But what we're seeing in as much is a loneliness epidemic. So even though we have access to each other's lives more than ever before, we can see what we're doing. We're feeling more and more disconnected. Mm. And I actually just read an article that was saying that if a mom connects with her daughter over the phone, then endorphins spike in her body because of the connection that's happening. But if she texts her mom, they actually go down past where they were in the moment before. And so there's something about the way that we're connecting with one another right now, but especially our teens, our kids who need this, what God said, we need to be together, not just watch each other on a screen, but be physically together, hear each other's voices, because God does something with that. And so there's something that's isolating us in this generation, not only comparison, but loneliness.
Yeah. And there's such a posturing to the world that we live in. You know, there's a, like, pull out a phone camera and watch what happens in the room. If you've got girls in the room, everyone sits up a little straighter because they know that that could be broadcast out to the whole world in a moment's notice. Mm. And so we have this, you know, all of this posturing. I've got to look perfect. I've got to project. And so we're kind of backing away from one another. That's where the isolation is coming. You know, I don't actually want you to be up close and personal because you might see the pimples in my face. You know, you might see now at this age, you might see the wrinkles on my face, right? And so we would rather project, you know, some polished image with a filter or whatever, and then hide in reality back away from one another. And none of this, like Lee is exactly right, none of this is what God intended. And so we want for girls to find a way back to one another, find a way back in relationship with their moms, with their youth leaders, like find a way to talk about these things there was a documentary called The Social Dilemma that I was watching. And in the documentary, there's this little girl and she's on her phone and she just posted a picture of herself using a filter. And then there's a little, you know, comments start rolling in and somebody posts a little icon of an elephant, like indicating that her ears are big. And the next scene you see her in the mirror and there's this tear sliding down her cheek. Mm. And, you know, she's trying to tuck her hair over her ears so that, you know, you can't see them. And she's a darling, darling little girl. And in my heart, as I'm watching it, I've got tears rolling down my cheeks too. And in my heart, what I'm crying out is go outside of your bedroom and find your mom. Show your mom what this little kid posted. Let your mom assure you of what's true. And the truth is, you are beautiful. You are created in God's image. You are exactly the way that God intended you to be. Mm-hmm. You are precious. You are priceless. I want her to hear that. I want her to know that. And in this isolated corner, she's not going to find that truth.
Mm. Well, I got to tell you, my grandmother was that for me. So I was a middle child. And, you know, us middle children, we're like, look at me, because nobody's looking at you, looking at the oldest and the youngest. And I had freckles growing up, lots of them, and I still have them.
Me too, Corey.
Yeah. But my grandmother renamed them beauty marks. Well, you have lots more beauty marks than anybody else does. And I'm like, man, I bought that one hook, line, and sinker. I love that one. So when people say, well, you have freckles, I'm like, no, they're beauty marks. I'm sorry. My grandmother told me that. So what you're saying, you really can speak in. Obviously, I remember that since I was a kid. That's what the littlest thing that you hear is just beautiful to say. So you don't compare or you reposition them, right?
Yeah. I have a friend who says that her grandma would tell her she had such fair skin and fine hair. She thought this was like a lovely, oh, now she's like, I am pale with thin hair. But her grandma framed it in such a way she saw herself as a little porcelain doll. And she was. She was beautiful.
And you know, my sister told me that if I ate burnt toast, I would be beautiful. So, you know, I was the one that was eating the burnt toast leftovers. But
the manipulation, a little bit of manipulation there, but
a little bit
hilarious.
So you did mention earlier about like small group leaders and the church being involved. And you said in the book, there are church girl comparison pitfalls. What, tell me about that. How do they struggle in a unique way?
Okay. So Corey, you just need to know that the part of the discussion we had in every chapter of the book was the different perspectives that we come from. So, you know, I did not grow up in a Christian home being taught biblical values all the time. And Shannon did grow up in that environment. And so we come at everything from a different angle. And that's part of the greatness and probably the strength of the book and the project and why God brought us together. But really, there are comparison issues that happen inside the church that don't happen other places.
Yeah, I mean, inside the church, you know the code, right? I grew up knowing exactly how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to look, feeling really confident walking inside a church. Lee, not so much, right? Mm. Walking inside a church was like, ooh, what do I do? How do I, you know, what are they thinking of me, right?
I imagine it's probably like this at Bible school too. The ones who go to church have an idea where to turn in their Bibles. The other kids have no idea. I mean, I was 18 years old, first day of Bible college, and they were saying, like, write all the books of the Bible in order and spell them right. And I was like, what is an Obadiah? Like, how do I spell that? Who's Haggai? You know, and I imagine that there are kids in every single group that we're talking about that have no idea these rules. They don't have that leg up, not only in what is acceptable and not acceptable, but the truth about how God sees them. And so in every group, there's probably a girl that has been told certain things, but she also has the liability of believing that she has to measure up to the standard in increasing measure, that God really is willing to do the work in her. She doesn't need to strive or do that herself. She doesn't have to measure up to the church girl pitfall, you know? And then there's the other girl and boy in the room who have no clue that they need to measure up. And sometimes that they're being judged because they can't.
Yeah. Mm. I think there's also an insidious part of comparison that we don't think about as much. We don't talk about it. Because you see, when we're comparing, even in church, we don't want to just be like, a good girl. We want to be a better girl. You know, we don't want to just be the pretty one. We want to be prettier. We don't want to just be the smart one. We want to be the smarter, right? We want to measure up. We want to be above. There's this pleasure of being above the rest, or there's this shame of being below the rest. And that desire to be above the rest is actually pride, P-R-I-D-E, right? I is in the middle. It's this self-focus, this desire to be lifted up. And you know, that is matches the backstory of our enemy. He wanted to be lifted up. He was once an angel in heaven, but that wasn't enough for him. He wanted to be lifted up like the Most High. He wanted for his throne to be lifted up. Imagine the audacity of a created being comparing himself to the Creator. And so it's a pride story. It's a lifting oneself up. And our enemy wants to influence us with his story, you know, and he does not stop at the doors of the church. And so church girls who know a lot of Bible, you know what they can also struggle with is a lot of pride and comparing down with others who don't know the difference between Haggai and Obadiah, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is where, when we're talking about church girl comparison, we got to talk about pride. And our Bible talks a lot about that. Jesus talked a lot about pride.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
What would have happened if Adam and Eve would have never sinned?
To imagine the earth without sin is like imagining having heaven here on earth. Heaven is without sin, and the Garden of Eden was originally without sin as well. But if Adam and Eve would have never sinned, and therefore did as God commanded them to do in Genesis 1:28, which was be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. Then we would be enjoying God's creation and relationship with Him in a much different way.
So we're talking about the Bible, and we're always bringing that into our kids. We do that at Bible to School. I do that with my adult children. I'm always bringing the Bible into it. Can you share some scripture with us that can kind of help us teach our kids? There's a lot of moms, dads, grandparents out there. Help them to combat that pursuit of that perfectionism. Like you said, measuring up, whatever it is, that pride. Do you have any scripture that we can go to on that?
Yeah, sure. So when we're talking about comparison, we often use a little measuring cup, you know, the glass kind with the lines on the side. And, you know, we say, picture this cup is your life, and in it is all of the unique ways that God has gifted you, you know, your intelligence, your good looks, your talents, your family that you came from, all of it is mingled together. And what we want to do is take our cup and put it next to somebody else's. And so one of the verses that gives me the impression that this is our enemy inviting us to take our cup and put it next to somebody else's is in James chapter 4. There's a verse that says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, this is not the wisdom that comes from above. This is the wisdom that is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. And so bitter jealousy, what is that? That is like looking over at somebody else's cup and saying, she has more and I don't like that, right? Selfish ambition is like, I want to be the one who has more in my cup. I want to measure up with my own cup. And this verse is saying that both of these ideas, they're all rooted not in God's wisdom, not in the wisdom that comes from above, but the wisdom that is part of this world system that denies God as king of the world. It's worldly. It's demonic even. You know, when our enemy, Satan, fell from Satan, Revelation talks about this dragon with a tail that swept a third of the stars from the sky. So that's sort of like imagery. Satan influenced a third of the angels to follow him. Can you even imagine?
Wow.
That's quite a lot of influence. And that is the influence that he is using against our kids. Right? And he does not fight fair. And so we need to let our kids know that they have an enemy who wants to influence them with his mindset. And his mindset is always going to be this jealousy. You know, she's got more and I don't like it. Selfish ambition. I want to be the best. I want to be the most. So that's one of the Bible passages that I always return to when I'm talking about comparison. But if Satan had a backstory, it would be he was full of himself. Like that's his story. He was full of himself. Jesus's backstory is he emptied himself. And so to look at Jesus in contrast with our enemy, I love to go to Philippians 2, because it talks about having the mindset of Jesus, who did not count equality. That's a measuring word, right? He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So if Jesus had a measuring cup, it'd be the biggest one and it'd be the fullest one, right? And Jesus equals God in status. And yet he didn't come to our earth bent on saying, all right, y'all bow down and worship me because I'm God, you know, I'm equal to God. Like, that is not the demeanor that he came with. Jesus came as a servant. First of all, he tucked himself into the size of an embryo, right? And then he was born into this world and he just walked among us. We didn't even know it was him, right? And then what did he do with all of his greatness? He completely took that full measuring cup and he poured his life out. That's what we see in Philippians 2. He emptied himself on that cross. Why? So that we could be lifted up out of the pit of our sin. And so we have a choice. Are we going to live our lives according to this backstory of Satan was full of himself, or Jesus emptied himself? Are we going to focus on the lines on the side of our measuring cup, or on the spout, you know, the emptying, the spout? What would you add to that, Lee?
I think we have this unique opportunity as those who love kids to teach them who they are in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was one of those discussions that we kept having, is in order to live free from comparison, you need to be rooted in who God says that you are, fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you could Pinterest any of these things, like who God says you are, attributes of a child of God, that kind of thing. But like pouring into them the truth about how God made them uniquely and wonderfully and gifted for a purpose in this generation. It's just so important to not only tell them the truth about who God is, what he did for us, but also who he has given them the privilege to be, which is a child of God, the King.
Oh, I can't think of anything better to wrap up with that. You guys hit it out of the park, because bottom line is we want real joy, real freedom in non-comparison, and we need it in Jesus Christ. And he came, like you said, he came so humbly, the opposite of pride, right? And comparison is pride. So focusing on ourselves. So thank you so much for sharing all that with us. There's more to come in this book. So tell us how we can get the book. Tell us what resources you have available for girls.
Well, we wanted to make it fun. So there are quizzes throughout the book that you are welcome to print that are tucked inside of the book and on our website, which is comparisongirl.com. And we have all kinds of conversation starters that we're going to have there too, so that you know how to engage your kids in conversations that really matter.
Oh man, I love that. Tools. You get given the listeners tools. I love that. So awesome. Awesome job. Shannon and Lee, thank you so much for being with us today. This is awesome. We all want to go out and get your book. And all these resources are awesome for the families and for the grandparents and parents. We got to wrap up today, but we're excited to learn more and get Comparison Girl for Teens.
As Lee reminds us that we are currently in the midst of the greatest mental health crisis the world has ever known, I love Shannon's admonishment to look to Scripture for a better understanding of how we can respond, specifically to comparison. What about you? Have the children in your life experienced any pieces of this comparison struggle mentioned in today's conversation? I hope you're leaving here encouraged that you can train them to respond like Jesus, as a servant who focuses on emptying out, not measuring up. If you'd like more information on how to train your children to respond well to comparison, check out our show notes on Bible2School.com. That's Bible2School.com, where you'll find all the resources mentioned, including a link to the book Comparison Girl for Teens. While you're on our website, click on over to the podcast tab, then Podcast Impact Team. Here, you'll learn how you can help support this ministry so we can continue on air telling even more people that they can tell children about Jesus. Thank you so much for your support, friends, and be sure to listen in here next week as I talk about the common myths of evolution with our friend from Answers in Genesis, Georgia Purdom. Until then, remember, you can train the children in your life to navigate comparison well.